improvement, that we're all trying to better ourselves and become more Christ-like and, yeah, improve ourselves. And like Sister Stephen had said, the Lord has told us that whatever intelligence we attain to in this life will rise with us in the resurrection. And the more knowledge and intelligence a person gains in this life, the greater advantage he will have in the world to come. And then there was another little quote that I thought was good in here. It says, we've got so much ground to walk over, and if we fail to travel today, we shall have so much more to travel tomorrow. So if we fail to learn today, we're just going to have to learn more and more later in our year. So it's important to learn today and make the effort. It says, we have to exert ourselves. This remaining idle without putting ourselves into action is of no use. If we remain perfectly neutral, nothing is accomplished. Every principle that is revealed from the heavens is for our benefit, for our life, for our salvation, and for our happiness. And then it says, there are revealed plainly and clearly principles which are calculated to exalt Latter-day Saints and preserve them from much trouble and vexation. Yet, through lack of perseverance on our part to learn and conform to them, we fail to receive the blessings that are connected with obedience to them. So if we fail to learn and fail to make an effort, we could be missing out on blessings that could have otherwise helped us. And so another question to you ladies. In what ways does our personal learning change when we truly exert ourselves? I know for me, like, if I'll sit in a meeting without real thought, I will learn nothing. But if I'm like, okay, I've got something to learn, I'm not sure what it is, and really pay attention, it doesn't matter what the topic's on. Somebody could be, you know, teaching a topic about tithing, and I could get out something about charity or something else. Like, it's not necessarily about what's being taught, but what you can learn from it personally. So does anyone have any other thoughts about how our personal learning can change when we truly exert ourselves? Yes?
My institute teacher had an interesting thought. He said, because he's been a bishop, he's a very, very learned man, and he said, you know, I've heard this same lesson however many times, but he said when he goes into a meeting, whether it be a priesthood meeting or just a sacrament meeting, he says a prayer in his heart, and he said, you know, Heavenly Father, I know there's something that I need to be learning today. Please help me to learn by thy Spirit, whether it comes out of the mouth of the speaker or the Holy Ghost speaks to me, help me to be able to learn what I'm supposed to today. So I've tried it a couple times, and it's really kind of interesting what happens, and he kind of posed it as a challenge, and I think it's something that we all could do, because, you know, we've all heard, like you said, about tithing, how many times, all that. Mm-hmm. You never know what we're supposed to be learning.
Exactly. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, Texas.
A comparison that I think about is when I first graduated from high school, I was a really young high school graduate, and I went to college, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. I mean, I did in my heart, but I didn't follow it because I second-guessed myself. So I got into a program that just I wasn't interested in. I didn't care about it, and I totally ruined my GPA, and I finally dropped out of school because I wasn't interested. I didn't care about what it was. Later on, I started taking classes in what I did care about, and I had straight A's. And I think that the same thing applies with the gospel. And if we actually, if we think about, okay, what do we want to know? What's missing in my life? How do I need to improve my life? We actually put our thought and focus on and search our hearts. What is it that we really want to know? Then we're going to learn. The Spirit will teach. We'll be directed to the right resources, to the right people.
Yeah, that's so great. Thanks for sharing that. Yes.
I spent 3 years in college before I was married, and I didn't go back. But my mother was worked in the library when I was a school teacher, when she knew my mother quite well. She knew me, and she says, oh, what a way for her to go to college and then get married. My dad was very indignant about it because he thought both my parents attended college. My mother graduated from BYU after I was married. But
great. Thanks for sharing. Yes, Sister Susan.
My mother was the ninth child in her family, and her father died when she was two, so she never knew her dad. But her mother had to take in washing and everything to try to make a living for nine children. And there was no life insurance or anything like that then. And so she, when mother was in the eighth grade, she thought, after she finished the eighth grade, she says, she told herself, you know, I really need to quit going to school and get a job, try doing something to help my mother. And so she and her sister, just older than her, quit. And they, you know, worked so hard. And that's the one thing she did not want people to know, that she did not have an education beyond eighth grade. And so she paid so much attention to using the correct English, and it rubbed off on us. And some of this Cache Valley English is horrible. Anyway, she was so particular about that. So I was correcting my kids too. And when our one daughter Peggy went to college, she clept her English. She clept her first year, you know, there. But that she says, Mother, thank you so much for making us speak correctly. You did that and taught her, you know, why. And she says that helped her so much but it was an influence from my mother, the grandmother now, to the granddaughter, that she spoke the correct English.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't think it matters how much education we have or if we ever finish college, but it's just the fact that whatever we have is going to benefit us and will make us better. I mean, I hadn't thought of this before, but Eric's grandmother is the cutest little old lady. She's got to be in her 80s. And her husband was a professor at Dixie State College when we got married. And she would take classes for free at Dixie State College, which Dixie State College is kind of a young geographic. I went there. And so she was this 80-year-old woman taking classes with these 18-year-olds. And she just loved it. And she would tell us all about all the classes she was taking. And she was just such an inspiration because there she was, like, continually learning and getting something out of it and just loving all the knowledge. And, yeah, she's an inspiration. But it doesn't matter how old or young or how much education you have. Because, yeah, she had never – I don't think she'd ever been to college before. But that you're never too young or too old or too learned or, you know, to learn more. So thanks for those comments. Anybody else have any other thoughts about that? Okay.
Sorry. Yes. I just really like this quote in here. It says, we have got to obtain knowledge before we obtain permanent happiness. We have got to be wide awake in the things of God. Not only the secular learning, but the things of God as well. Well, and really everything is the things of God, I guess.
So. Yes. Which that's a perfect comment into the next section, which is how the education of the Spirit is worthy of our best attention. It says, there's a kind of education worthy of the best attention of all and which all ought to engage. That is the education of the Spirit. A little spiritual knowledge is a great deal better than mere opinions and notions and ideas, or even very elaborate arguments. A little spiritual knowledge is very important and of the highest consideration. And this reminds me of the little, like, health wheel. In the health class in junior high, you learn about the five areas of health. It's physical, emotional, social, mental, and spiritual, and how you're supposed to be all evenly learned in all those areas. But I like that this one says that the education of the Spirit is worthy of our best attention, because I think that one probably gets overlooked the most, and that we really do need to pay perhaps the most attention to the Spirit, because physical and social, like, those are always in our face, you know? We always have to eat and socialize with people, but the Spirit, I think, is the least loud of all those areas. Yes.
I just kind of had a comment on that. I noticed that something that I do a lot, especially now that I'm just staying at home, mm-hmm. sometimes I want to just, like, zone out and watch a show or something, mm-hmm. and I'll find myself just thinking, like, I'm, like, numb to what's going on right now. Like, I'm not learning anything. I'm just sitting here like a potato, and I don't know
I
why.
I felt that way,
I
too.
We'll turn on the TV and do that. So lately what I've been trying to do is just turn it off, but it's crazy to me what comes to my mind. I think, oh, well, I should check Facebook or something. Like, that's what comes to mm-hmm. me when I think of that. Well, what I've been trying to do lately is just, like, not do anything and just ponder and, like, think of spiritual things. And, like, it really makes a difference to try to, like, do the effort, like you were saying, but not do anything, but just think. Because I think that in this world, we're just bombarded with, do this.
And exactly.
It's good to let the Spirit speak to us in those times instead of trying to fill our life with things. Let it fill us.
That's so great. And see, that takes an effort to sit there, and you have to pay attention, be like, okay, this is what we're doing. So I think that, thank you so much for that comment. So another question, what does pursuing the education of the Spirit mean to you? And what can we result when our education focuses too much on worldly wealth and not enough on the Spirit? Thoughts. Yeah, I know for me, like Carissa said, like the Spirit it's not the first thing to come to my mind. Yeah, it's like Facebook and what are we going to have for dinner and when's the next get together and what's this and what's that. And so, yeah, to really pay attention, or when I pick a book, I'm probably not inclined to pick up the Ensign as I would be to like pick up a book about health or wellness or politics or something like that. So yeah, I really have to make an effort. So does anyone have any ideas on how we can do that?
This was an interesting thing for me. I was struggling with a specific idea and concept, and I just couldn't quite get a handle on it. We went to state conference, and they talked about the atonement. And I thought, I need to understand the atonement better. And so I posted on Facebook. I said, help me understand the atonement a little bit better. And I had so many friends that made fantastic comments. And it was just this little spiritual forum going on Facebook.
That's
and
so great.
You know, Brother Schaefer made some really good comments, and Brother Hogan and a few other people, even just here in the ward of my friends, that helped me to understand the atonement better. So networking.
That's great.
Gospel networking can help too.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. Thoughts? Yes.
Just to answer this question, what can result when our education focuses too much on worldly wealth? I like the quote that Kim read back here. We've got to obtain knowledge before we obtain permanent happiness. I think if we kind of skew that around a little bit and put it in a spiritual perspective, we're not going to be truly happy or obtain this permanent happiness until we know the spiritual side of things, until we know what we're working for, because if we don't know what we're working for, we're just here.
Exactly. Yeah, if we're eliminating that fifth piece of the pie,
we're not whole.
Exactly.
Yeah. I remember St. President that I spoke around in my first day on my mission. I was extremely impressed by him because, you know, as we would go and make visits to his house, and he told us about how he would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning just because he had a straight hour of just quiet, peaceful, nothing going on. He could spend time studying his scriptures. He could spend time pondering. And that was his time that he could really prepare for the day. And it wasn't just so much just his studies that influenced the way he was as a person, but it was the kind of life that he lived. He was the most influential state president that I ever met in my whole life. I mean, he had a passion for the gospel. He had a zeal for doing what was right. And when I use the word zeal, I mean like the absolute like best of that word. He was an incredible person. And so as I just sat and thought about, you know, what made him stand out so much, it's just that it was this everyday choices, this everyday diligence, this everyday desire to do what he needed to do. And so because of that, Heavenly Father was able to use him in ways that were just incredible. And I think each and every one of us have that capacity within us that we're willing to do what we need to every single day.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that, Kat, Daniel.
When I read that too, where it says, this is a question you asked, don't focus too much on the worldly wealth, the family just keeps coming to mind. Like, I just think that women are really beaten down on by the world. And so I feel like if you are, like, always seeking after the wealth of the world and the acceptance of the world, then you're always going to fall short, because we can get looked down upon if we don't, you know, have these great careers and, you know, only have one kid in your late 30s. And, you know, that's kind of how the world is going. And I think that it's important that, you learn spiritually why the family is important and what you're doing is important, even if you're staying at home with your kids and you decide not to work or, you know, things like that. And I think that if you learn, if you focus on the spiritual side, then you won't feel like, you won't feel less in the eyes of
like you're not meeting
yeah,
up.
Yeah, am I making
yes.
sense? I'm
oh, yeah.
kind of rounding. Okay.
Oh, for sure. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for that. I agree. Thanks for your comments. Does anyone have any other comments about that? The next section is about how we benefit from hearing the gospel principles over and over again. And it says, you have heard some principles perhaps hundreds of times, and yet it seems to be necessary that these things should be taught to us over and over again. And yeah, I feel like that is definitely the story of life. Like we've all heard about, I mean, I'm sure we've all heard this lesson before, how we need to, you know, gain spiritual education, and you know, we've just heard the same gospel principles repeated over and over again, and it tells us about, it gives us an analogy about how learning in the gospel is like a child learning the alphabet, and how a teacher will tell the child, here's the letter A, what's this letter? It's the letter A. And then they go to letter B. Here's letter B. What's this letter? It's letter B. And then you go back to letter A, and the child can't remember. Like, it takes so much repetition. And we all eventually learn our alphabet. But if we didn't know that we would all learn the alphabet, it would be very discouraging for a first grade or a kindergartner or first grade teacher to teach kids the alphabet because they forget so fast. And so it says, so it is with Latter-day Saints. Though we may get tired of hearing things repeated, they have to be in order that we may learn them thoroughly. We must learn them. I know that the Latter-day Saints will eventually learn all the laws and commandments of God and will learn to observe them strictly, but we have not arrived at that point yet. And so, the question it has is, how does the example of a child learning the alphabet relate to our efforts of learning the gospel? And as we have studied the words of ancient and latter-day prophets, what principles have we seen repeated? Principles of the gospel. Yes.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That's true. They're all the same story, just a little different.
Well, and then I had an institute teacher say, if you notice something's been repeated two or three times, take note. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord repeats what is important.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes.
I thought you were talking about general conference, but that every general
that
conference it has the same mm-hmm. thing. But every time you go to hear general conference and think about it, each one of us gets a different mm-hmm. theme for the whole conference. As something you needed to learn, and you hear it in a different voice or a different, you know, in a different story maybe, but it's the same lesson.
Exactly.
And you learn real quick.
Yes, thank you.
I've had the opportunity to teach in a couple of different kindergarten classes.
Perfect.
And with their letters, we teach them to recognize it visually, to be able to say it, to all the sounds that go with that letter, to sign it, to write it. So it's all these different ways than just this one letter. And to me, that's kind of like the principles that we learn, whether it's in scriptures or conference. It's a lot of different ways that we're getting the same thing, but we need it so that we can have that repetition and remember what's being taught.
That's so great. Thanks for sharing that. Yes.
How many times have we been taught about preparedness?
Exactly, yeah.
You can go back every prophet that said, and how many of us are really prepared?
Yeah.
Yes. I like in the lesson, that somewhere in this lesson, it stuck with me was, all of our teachers, no matter who they are or what they do in life or whatever, but all the teachers we have are here for our learning. They're not here to teach. They're here to tell us to learn, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
What I would think about in the Book of Mormon, I think it's mostly in Alma, they talk about, you know, kind of the cycle, righteousness, start to falter, war, go back to righteousness. And it's constantly repeating, and I think it's not only a reminder for them, like, you need to look at what you're doing. I need to remind you that making bad decisions, you're going through the cycle again, mm-hmm. but I think it helps us realize, too, you know, by reading those repetitions, you're kind of seeing that falteration, like, cycling through. I don't know. I see it happen all the time, so it's important to keep that in your own mind, too.
Yes, thanks for that. Yes.
I have a great grandfather that wrote in his journal over and over that you needed to read your scriptures, say your prayers, and serve others, and everything in your life would fall into place, kind of basically is what he'd say. But he'd say that over and over all throughout his journal, and I didn't know what that really meant when I was younger. And after going to school and getting married and having a family, over the years, it's made more sense as I've gotten older. And I find when, if I want to learn something or if I want to improve something, that if I haven't done that stuff, if I, you know, been vigilant about saying my prayers, studying my scriptures, and try to serve others, like you said, my life just isn't as organized. If I'm not reading my scriptures, it doesn't seem like my life is as organized as it should be, and so I don't learn what I'm supposed to be learning, and I can't explain it, but
no, that's
doing
great.
Those things, it seems like all of the other things that I want to study and do fall into place,
mm-hmm.
and I have a much better day or a much better week when I'm doing those things, and so I can understand now that I'm older what he was talking about.
Thanks for sharing that with your Janelle. And then, yeah.
I'm not sure how to put this into words, but as far as repetition goes, you know, sometimes when we're immersed in the gospel living, we just feel like our families are immersed in the gospel living too. But I had an experience this week that really woke me up. In fact, just this morning, I have one son who really struggles with a lot of things, and he and I struck a bargain where I had him make a prayer chart, and I said, if you will say your prayers morning and night, because I knew that he wasn't saying prayers regularly, then this can be a positive consequence for you. And he said, okay, so he made the prayer chart, and I looked at it yesterday, and it had been 4 days, and I said, you haven't marked that you said any prayers, and this was this morning. And he said, okay, if I say my prayers, what do I say this morning? And I was just thunderstruck that he has been raised in the gospel. He listens to family prayer every day, and we taught him to pray when he was little, but we stopped hearing him say his prayers when he was about 6 or 7, and apparently he stopped saying personal prayers when he was 6 or 7. I didn't know that. And so I sat there this morning and went through the steps of how you say a personal prayer with him this morning. And so then he went to his room, and he shut the door, and he was in there about 10 minutes, and he came out, and he had this red mark on his forehead where he'd been leaning on his chin. And he said, Mom, I feel so good. He said, that's the longest prayer I've had in years. I just wanted to cry. I fell down in my responsibility as a parent because we didn't do the repetition with him like we should have. How many problems in his life could he have avoided if we had done the repetition of prayer with him?
Thank you so much for sharing that. That makes me want to cry. As for happiness, not that you didn't teach him, but that you taught him today. Like, it's never too late, and I just think you're amazing. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, mine went a lot with what these ladies were saying, but I taught social studies in school, and I learned very quickly that if I just would tell them about history, they wouldn't listen, they didn't know, they didn't remember. So I learned quickly that I had to create experiences where they actually lived history, like they were a part of it, and so like recreating things for them, and then they would remember it, they loved it, and they became interested in it, and I think that's the same way for us. In the gospel, the only way for us to learn about the gospel is not to listen about tithing, but to pay our tithing. Or, like, when I moved up to college, I would say, oh, I don't, you know, Relief Society, I don't even need to go to Relief Society. And I didn't have a testimony of Relief Society, and I figured out it was because I didn't go. And so yeah. I went to Relief Society, I learned how important it was, and I love Relief Society now. And I just think that is with any gospel principle. We can't just sit here and listen to it. We have to live it, and that's how we'll learn.
I agree. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's fabulous. All right. Or I think we're about out of time, are we not? Yes. So the last part is just about how both the teacher and the learner need the guidance of the Spirit, but I think you've all touched on that, in the fact that when, yeah, you go to meetings or a Relief Society lesson or general conference, there's something that the Lord wants to teach us, and it's different for all of us, and it takes our effort on our part and our attention on our part in order to learn what the Spirit would have us know and what the Lord would have us know. And I know that this lesson, me having to teach it, was divine guidance from the Lord, because I know that in my pie of life, like, my spiritual is definitely the slice that doesn't get the most attention, but it needs to get more attention, and that I need to learn and be active in learning about spiritual things, just as Lorenzo Snow lived his life, always learn, you know, with the desire to learn about spiritual things. And thank you guys for all your comments, and I know that if we make an effort to learn and to learn of spiritual things, that the Lord will open our minds and lead our lives. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We have one more announcement that we did not announce. Emily Knight had her baby. Her name is Sarah Lee. She's 5 pounds, 10 ounces, and they're doing really well. The closing song will be The Lord is My Light, page 89, and then we have a closing prayer by Beth Blanchard.
Thank you. in heaven. We're so grateful, dear Father, for us to be here this winter morning to relieve society and hear the messages that were given this day. And we're grateful for Tina and her preparation. And we pray that we may all strive to find more things that we can learn and be active in more learning and understanding that we need. We're grateful and thankful to thee for the blessings of the gospel. We're grateful to be members of thy church here on this earth with the living prophet at the helm. We pray thy blessings upon him and all serving with him. And we pray for our Relief Society presidency, that thou will be with them and guide and direct them in all the decisions they need to make for our ward, and that we'll all be active and do the things that we've been instructed and asked to do. And we pray this humbly in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.